Hi, this is Dave Musial, owner of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. Do you have a plumbing emergency? Call Four Seasons. An electrical emergency? Call Four Seasons. A heating or cooling emergency? Call Four Seasons. Same day hot water tank installation needed? Call Four Seasons. Need a whole home generator? Call Four Seasons. We guarantee same day installation on all heating, cooling, plumbing, and electrical needs. And no extra charge for nights, weekends, or holidays.
For all the right reasons, call 866-4-SEASONS.
Are you ready for your next winter adventure? Whether it's a stylish all-wheel drive SUV to get the family where they need to go, or an innovative EV to make the switch to electric, ChevyDriveChicago.com has you covered. With Equinox, Traverse, Silverado, Trax, and Trailblazer, you're sure to find the perfect Chevy to match your needs and lifestyle. But finding the right car is only part of the story. Winter weather is here, and your vehicle needs to be ready for anything. From oil changes and tire rotations to unexpected repairs, your local Chevy dealer is here to help. Their team of experts knows your vehicle, and they will make sure your car is safe, reliable, and ready to handle whatever the season brings. So why wait? Head to ChevyDriveChicago.com today to find your local dealer, shop the latest vehicles, and schedule your service appointment. ChevyDriveChicago.com. That's ChevyDriveChicago.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, buddy! Welcome back. Hour number two of the Rob Brown Show starts right now. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Fan Upstate. Rob Brown, the great one, Lonzo, with you this and every weekday morning from 6 till 10 a.m., the four most electrifying hours in sports talk entertainment that you will find anywhere at any time. Rolling through Super Bowl week here on the radio broadcast. Coming up later on in the show, 7:40, the iconic Denton Day is going to join us here on the show. He is the host of College Football Overtime on Sirius XM. Denton is also one of the best football minds that I've had the pleasure of sharing the airwaves with. He joins us on Wednesdays at 7:40 to talk football. We'll get his final Super Bowl thoughts coming up here in about 40 minutes from now. Coming up later on in the show at 8:40, we'll be joined by Mark Bonetti, the voice of the Greenville Swamp Rabbits. The Bits in the midst of a two-week road trip. They spent the first week of it up in Indiana. They are now down in South Florida getting set for a game tonight, another game Friday and Saturday before the Bits return back to the well next week. They will have one more away game next Wednesday, then back home next Friday, Saturday, Sunday for a three-game weekend set. We'll talk to Bonetti about the team. They had how about this, Tate Singleton of the Greenville Swamp Rabbits? Back-to-back hat tricks on consecutive nights. First player in Greenville history to pull off that feat, just the 15th player in the history of the ECHL to go back-to-back Hatties.
Don't you get worried about something like that, though? Because that's the kind of guy that gets called up.
Tate has already been called up to Ontario, okay. I think, twice this season. And sent back down for development purposes, came down, played, I think, one game at the well before they started this road trip, and then just absolutely on a heater.
Also, a really quick question. So if they're on a road trip, can they be called up even though they're out?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh,
all
yeah.
Right.
100%. The level of hockey for the Greenville Swamp Rabbits is a developmental level. Obviously, the Rabbits affiliation is with the LA Kings. The stop in the middle is the Ontario Reign. And so if a guy like a Tater goes on a heater as Tater has done, they'll get called up to Ontario. But because obviously the level of play in Ontario is one level higher, just because you're on a heater at our level doesn't mean you're getting called up to auto-inject into the rotation or into the starting lineup. But we have had a couple of bits that have been called up and then have ultimately made their way to the Kings roster. A couple of years ago, we had a keeper by the name of Bednard who got called up, and he ended up being on the Kings playoff roster for a game. So it's definitely happened. We'll talk with Mark Benetti, voice of the Greenville Swamp Rabbits, coming up in about an hour and a half and check in on the Swamp Bunnies as they're on a long roadie before they come back to the crib for a three-game stint next weekend. That includes a couple of big days, by the way. Stick it to Cancer Night is Friday night. That is one of my it's weird because you don't want to say favorite nights of the year. It's a night that I hope one day we don't have a need for anymore. But for right now, we do. It celebrates and honors fighters and survivors around the upstate and around the country. It's a phenomenal night. So we'll talk to Minetti about that coming up at 8:40 Denton Day here in about 35 minutes from now. But it's 7:05 on the dot, 55 minutes till you got to get your behind in the chair at the office. And then, 7 minutes after that, you can take your first break. Walk down the hallway, talk some sports with your coworkers. You're going to talk sports. You got to know what's going on. You need this. The water cooler cheat sheet, the top three sports stories that you need to know before you get to the office and start talking sports this morning. When you do, this is what you will be talking about. Let's dive right in with item number one. A head coach at the National Football League making an announcement that he would continue being a head coach in the National Football League is probably not something that is going to make the water cooler cheat sheet very often. But this head coach is not your average NFL head coach. Yesterday, down in New Orleans, Louisiana, the Big Easy, the Crescent City, head coach of the Kansas City Chiefs, Andy Reid, said he is running it back at least one more year. Reid said, as the Chiefs prepared for Super Bowl licks against the Eagles, quote, "I enjoy being around the guys. I enjoy the football games. You can't put in the hours that we do and not enjoy it. So I really love the game." Clark Hunt is the chairman of the Kansas City Chiefs. Said that he doesn't believe Reid is even close to the end of a coaching career that has, to this point, 301 career wins, including playoffs and Super Bowls, three Super Bowl championships so far. Hunt said, quote, "He's always said that he'll know when the time is right, and I'm sure he'll share it with me before he shares it with everyone else. At least I hope so, but I don't sense that he's anywhere close to being done," end quote. So Andy Reid, sitting on three rings, looking for number four, looking to become the first head coach in NFL history to accomplish a three-peat, says if the three-peat is successful, he's coming back to try to put up the four. We'll see if that goes down or not. We'll talk about that more later on in the show, but let's get to item number two. It has been a very interesting last couple of weeks for the Clemson Tiger basketball team under Brad Brownell. We mentioned that there was a bit of a slow spot earlier in the season. They had a 5-point loss to Memphis. They had a 3-point loss on the road at South Carolina. They've lost one game since then. It was a 74-64 loss to the Louisville Cardinal. A lot of people said, uh-oh, that ain't ideal. Turns out Louisville is pretty good at basketball this year. That became a loss that was a hell of a lot more understandable. Last night's a little less so. 89-86, your final. The Clemson Tigers fall in triple overtime to the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets. 28 points out of Chase Hunter, 23 points out of the Chef and Shefflin, 15 for Chauncey Wiggins. Here's the problem you bumped into. You got 5 out of Victor Lakin. You got 5 out of Jaden Zachary. And you got a grand total of 10 bench points. Dylan Hunter had 4 points in 38 minutes on 2 of 7 shooting. Jake Heidbreder had 17 minutes played, scored 6 points on 2 of 5 from the floor. That's just not good enough. It was a rough shooting night for the Clemson Tigers last night, just 36.4% from the floor, while Georgia Tech went 35 of 83, shot over 42%. From the floor, just about everything else went their way as well. Georgia Tech, 56 boards to 46 from Clemson. I don't know what you want me to say. This was an opportunity for the Tiger basketball team. This was a team that I said on Monday coming into this week, this is an AP top 25 team. Brad Evans, host of MGM Tonight. I do a guest spot with them every Tuesday at 8:20 p.m. Big college basketball guy. I have asked him about Clemson a couple of times. He has said that he thinks Clemson could be as high as a 4 seed in this tournament when the brackets come out in early March. But these losses can't happen. 18-5 now with the Tigers. They are now 10-2 in conference with losses to Tech and Louisville. I know what you want me to tell you. And this is a home loss, too, by the way. This wasn't on the road in Atlanta. You shot less than 36.5% on your own buckets. That's just not going to get it. Every team's going to have an off night. And for the record, they kept it to a triple overtime game. At least Clemson did not get blown out. That looks a lot better on the resume than getting squashed at home by a still, even after this win, sub-500 Georgia Tech team. And again, I don't dislike this Georgia Tech team. They're scrappy, they're gritty, they play a lot of defense, but they're still not good. This is the first L this year for Los Tigres that I look at and I go, that one's not acceptable. That one's not acceptable. That one can't happen. So Clemson will look to rebound after that L. They will certainly not be ranked in next week's AP Top 25. And here's where it gets more fun. You get a couple of days off, then back at the crib for number 2, Duke. Back at the crib 2 days later to take on North Carolina. Carolina is unranked. Carolina did just get hammered by the Dukies. But Carolina is a team that is on the bubble. Carolina is a team that believes they should be in the tournament, but is lacking a couple of critical quad one games to make them a tournament team. If they are going to get into the tournament, they must beat Clemson on the road in South Carolina. They take this L, there's a very good chance that UNC is missing the tournament. You are going to get the best RJ Davis you've gotten so far this year, I bet. Clemson has become, for that game, probably not as much for Duke. Duke is in. Duke's a 1 seed unless something catastrophic happens. UNC is not guaranteed a bid right now. They're not guaranteed an end to the tournament. And if that is the case, a win on the road at a well plus 500 Clemson team that has been a hovering around number 28 all year type of win would be massive for North Carolina. Brad Brownell better get this team turned around. I'm not panicking. It's one game. It's one game. And it's a triple overtime loss. But it was a triple overtime loss to a sub-500 team and a team that, frankly, you shouldn't have lost to. So not time to push the panic button, but something's going to have to get fixed before Duke and North Carolina visit the crib in back-to-back matchups. Let's get to item number 3. Speaking of North Carolina becoming the most recent program to begin to attempt to navigate their way into the new era of college sports. North Carolina head coach Hubert Davis, this is of the basketball team, obviously. Hubert Davis said that he is making staff changes, not coaching changes in the midst of a season. Instead, North Carolina basketball will become the most recent to add a general manager for the specific sport. There are a bunch of athletic departments that have started to add a general manager in order to help them navigate the new era of college sports. I don't have any problem with it. We're going to talk more about this coming up here in a few minutes. But there are a few that have started to add general managers that are sports specific, as in the basketball team has a general manager. The football team has a general manager. North Carolina has fully bought into this role. When Bill Belichick was named the new head coach for the North Carolina Tar Heels, he almost immediately announced that UNC football was going to have a general manager. And not only was it going to have a general manager, but their general manager is Lambeau, Michael Lombardi, who is a longtime NFL executive and front office guy, a guy who knows how to run a professional football team, is now going to run an amateur football team. He has taken over as the USC GM. Now, North Carolina basketball will get their own general manager. Now, a lot of teams have done this. Other teams are not calling them general managers. They have been giving them names like player personnel, etc. UNC, their football department, their general manager is being called director of player personnel. This is a person that is in charge of helping both the school and its players to navigate the transfer portal, to navigate the NIL landscape, etc., etc. Now UNC basketball, which, as we mentioned just a minute ago in item number two, is kind of struggling a little bit this year. And there are some people, I don't know if they're right or wrong, but there are some talking heads that are chalking this up to North Carolina, which is a little bit shocking considering they might be, what, the biggest or at worst second biggest brand in college basketball, has had a little bit of an issue with navigating the portal, bringing guys in, losing guys out, making sure guys that while North Carolina has an incredible wealth of assets for their basketball team are taken care of in the NIL landscape, they have decided that they are going to jump on board and have a sport-specific general manager. We will keep an eye on this and see who it is they elect to fill that role. I would not be shocked to see in the future a trend, a pattern of professional sports executives beginning to make their way down to the college ranks to take over similar roles. We will address that as it continues to come up, but we got to run to a break. Let's talk a little bit more about this as the show rolls on. Denton Day coming up in a little over 20 minutes to talk Super Bowl. Mark Benetti of the Greenville Swamp Rabbits at 8:40. The Rob Brown Show till 10 o'clock on the Fan Upstate. The Rob Brown Show on your radio. It's the Fan Upstate. Rob Brown, the great one, Lonzo. What is your knee-jerk reaction when you hear that college athletic departments are beginning to hire, at large and mass across the country, general managers? Because the reaction that I saw to this news yesterday, when North Carolina, come on and raise up, dropped that news that they would be grabbing themselves a GM moving forward, the reaction was largely, after the Hubert Davis announcement, split down the middle, with a good chunk of people going, yeah, it checks out. There's more money changing through more hands than there ever has been in college football. There's money going from the NCAA, from the conferences to the schools, from the schools to coaches, coaches to administrators, NIL to players, et cetera, et cetera. There is more money touching more hands than there ever has been in the history of the sport. And when you have that much money making its way from one spot to another, I don't think it's a bad idea to have somebody whose job is to make sure that the right people are getting paid for the right reasons, that the right people are being handled correctly, that the money is being handled correctly, and that decisions involving that money are being handled correctly. I don't think it's a bad idea to have somebody in charge of the contractual elements of college sports, because at this point, everything is run that way. The college football playoffs are run by contracts. The conferences are run by contracts. The television deals are run by contracts. There really is, as of right now, only one place where vast amounts of money are changing hands that aren't covered by contracts, and that place is NIL. And again, I think that's coming down the pipe. I think it is an inevitability that at some point, players are going to either find a way to force their ability to unionize, or at some point, the feds will step in and allow them the opportunity to unionize. In fact, potentially mandate their unionizing. Now, I will say this.
Who would it help if they unionized?
Who would it help?
Who does it help?
To me, everybody. And the reason it helps is...
Who does it hurt?
To me, nobody. To me, it doesn't hurt anybody. To me, it helps everybody.
So, and the reason... So a union regulates how much money people make?
A union has one obligation. It does one thing. A union acts as the voice, a unified voice in negotiating between employee and employer. That's a union's job. Now, you're going to hear a lot of people who are very pro-union, and they're going to put every bit of shine on it that they can, and you're going to have a lot of people who despise unions, and they're going to demonize the hell out of them. And the reality is, like everything else, the truth is somewhere in the middle.
So according to your definition, you just labeled them as employees.
If they unionize, I don't have any issue with
that.
But
if you're making a lot of money, do you want a union?
Yes. And I'll tell you why.
Why would you?
Hang on.
Because then your wage would come down.
This is, and we are venturing into one of those places where the Venn diagram of politics and sports cannot be separated. Again, we do the best we can to separate politics and sports because sports are supposed to be a break from reality.
Wait,
however,
unions are political?
The concept of unions, wildly political. Wildly political. Traditionally, the left, very pro-union, as the cherub side of the union is, workers' rights is worker compensation. It's making negotiations on behalf of employees to get them more compensation, better hours, more vacation, yada, yada, yada. Over on the other side, on the right, which is traditionally, not exclusively, but the right traditionally is anti-union, because the more the union has a voice and impact and power, the more that the businesses that shell out the dollars, the more they feel is taken from them and given to the employees. It is absolutely one of the most polarizing political discussions out there.
Before I knew what political side I was on, I was in two unions. Both of them were horrible. One, I saw the union reps looking out for the friends, making sure they got paid and making sure everything they were taken care of. But if all the other people got nothing from them, it was dragging their feet years before anything was done and usually nothing. And then the other union I was in, which is a well-known union, but I'm not going to say what it was. If you listen for a long time, you'll know what it is. Strong arm tactics. Someone come in with basically Guido and Pinky and basically said, I want you to vote for me. So it was a fear tactic to where you went ahead and voted for them, got nothing out of it. So I don't think you've been in a union. I've been in two different ones, and neither one of them was a good experience.
So
if I'm that guy, if I'm that star basketball player, that star football player, and I'm making a bunch of money off of NIL, why would I want a union to come in and take my cash?
So there's a couple of things. This is one of those spots where Rob's going to be the big butthole and go, I'm sorry you had that experience, but that's your experience. I know people who are in unions right now and would go to battle, go to war for their unions, love the union
that
they work under.
It's not a singular experience by me. It's by all the people who were around me who had to
deal
with
that.
That's
fine. The people of the experience in that union, but it is not the only union. That is not the only one.
Two different unions.
So in those unions like anything else, when you give a certain amount of people power, many are corrupted
exactly
by it.
Exactly why you don't want a union if you're a star player. Because then you have to give your money for dues. You have to look out for everybody else. What do you care about everybody else? Take care of yourself. And if the lowest member of the team is not getting paid, they should be better. A union is not going to solve anything other than the fact to prove what I've been saying is that these athletes are employees.
Okay. So let me respond to a couple of points that you have made. Number one, again, that you're experiencing a union. That sucks. I'm sorry you had that experience. I also know people, including my grandfather, who was very staunchly conservative, who was in a union and was very pro-union, despite being a conservative, which is a separation.
I'm going to continue to say unions are not political.
Well, let me explain it to you.
You already did, and I disagree with you.
I didn't say unions are political. I said people's stance philosophically on unions are usually a very good indicator of their political leanings. That's just a fact. Walk over there and go ask our morning show co-host on our brother station which side of the aisle pro and anti-union people usually fall. I won't even poison the well. I guarantee you she'll say.
And I guarantee you she will have a wonderful conversation with you and you'll be completely surprised.
Maybe so.
Because you have a preconceived notion.
Yes, I do.
Because you make it political.
Lonzo.
And because you think people
Lonzo,
are going to think and say things a certain way.
Pro-life, pro-choice. Can you usually get a good indicator of what side of the political aisle someone falls on based on, not every time, but a pretty good indicator of what side of the political aisle they fall on based on whether they are pro-life or pro-choice?
As far as that goes, yes.
Okay, same
but
thing.
That's, no,
same
no thing. It's not.
It's the
not,
same
it's
thing.
Not the, unions are not the same thing.
It is. Okay. In Rob Brown's experience as somebody who hosted a political talk show for over 2.5 years, I can usually get a pretty good indicator of which side of the political aisle you fall on based on your stance on unions. Now, why is this important? Why is this a conversation? The answer is this. Because a lot of the issues, y'all complain about it being the wild, wild west out there, right? Oh, everybody can just do whatever they want. There's no rules. There's no guidelines. There's no safety ramps. There's no nothing. There is, and I've been saying this for a year and a half now, the reason the NCAA failing to act on NIL and transfer portal and all that when they had the opportunity is bad is because once things start to be allowed, you can't just walk them back arbitrarily. And we don't let that happen anymore. Okay, there's going to be a pushback. That includes having courts say, well, you allowed it for all of this time. We're not going to just arbitrarily allow you to walk it back. Now, that's part of the reason this House v. NCAA antitrust case is in play right now. So the reason that allowing players to unionize, there is one major benefit, the major benefit. And I've been saying this for a while. It allows for the players to have a voice in collective bargaining. That is the way the NFL works. That is the way the NBA works. That is the way Major League Baseball and the NHL and the MLS and the WNBA and the NWSL. Every professional league that operates successfully with their players operates successfully under a collective bargaining agreement. Every couple of years, we end up having a CBA discussion about one of the major sports. In order to have a collective bargaining agreement where the players have a large vote, have a unified voice, not everybody in the union is going to agree with the union decision, but it is one of those times that you say, even though this one aspect of what this group of people is doing, I don't agree with, overall, it's better. It's better for me. We're going to get more. NFL, Roger Goodell wants an 18-game schedule for the NFL. Fine. But in order to get that, the players who have to go out there and work those 18 games are going to go to him and say, that's fine, but we want an increased salary cap so there's more money to go around. We want this concession. Eventually, I suspect, in order to stretch the season out one more year, the collective bargaining agreement will include a second bye week for every NFL team.
All right. So here's a question, and yeah, not the smartest guy in the room. So the unions, if there is a union, who would the union be through? Through the NCAA?
The union would be a union. It would be its own standalone entity.
Yeah, but who would control that? I mean, who would...
The union would be its own thing. It would not be under anybody. It would be a union. It's an entirely set... The NFL Players Association is not governed by anybody, yeah, but the players.
But here's the thing. So as these college students are getting paid by different people and not school, as you've said, how can you unionize that? Because it's technically, I don't know, what, 30, 40, 50 employers per school?
Here's how. Here's how. What would happen is the schools would say, in order for us to come to an agreement, here's what we want. The players would say, "What here, blah, 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 blah." And as part of the agreement...
What do the schools have to do with it? They're not...
I'm trying to explain it to
you. They're not the employers. You said they're not the employers.
Correct.
So what do the schools have to do with it?
The schools can say... In order for this CBA to be ratified, no player in your union may accept more than X amount in NIL deals from anybody else. They can say, just like the NFL can say, hey, NFL players, you're not allowed to endorse pornographic movie studios. And if you agree to that CBA, even though the players on their own can go accept any sponsorships they want, they accept an agreement that they, just like us, there are products that I cannot endorse outside of this because I agreed to that with the boss. That's my contract. There's a contract between the NCAA and the players' union that says, in order for this CBA to be ratified, you can't accept this. And they could put a cap on the amount of NIL. And the players would go, we accept that cap on what we can make independently as NIL contractors as long as we get this back from the NCAA. That's
never going to happen.
It literally happens all the time.
In college, never going to happen.
It happens everywhere all the time.
That's fine. Not going to happen in college.
All right. We'll talk more about this later on in the show because there was a visceral reaction to North Carolina installing a general manager. I'm going to tell you, the professionalization of college sports, this is a part of that step. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Odyssey State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry. And get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.
It is the Rod Brown Show here on
Hot Rod today.
Shoot, quite literally, unfortunately, it is sweaty up in here today, and I mean that quite literally.
It's soggy underwear, uncomfortable, hot in here.
I try not to use the word swamp ass too often. But it's an accurate depiction today, unfortunately. I got to run out to a meeting after this show. And I'm going to tell you now, I got to go home and shower first. That's just how it's got. I have to. And on top of that, because it was like 45 degrees at my house when I left this morning, I put on a hoodie. By the way, dope new station branded hoodie.
They are pretty sweet. I don't think I realized that we had those.
We didn't. I specifically asked for it. I'm the only one with one.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm selfish.
All right, fine. So they made one just for you.
Yeah, I asked for it.
Wow.
And, you know, talent. We got sway around here.
He didn't ask for, like, I don't know, pants and, you know, a tie. And
I was on with Ryan Horvat last night, and Horvat reached out, or Horvat on the show last night was like, yeah, I was, because we switched from the BetQL network to the BetMGM network yesterday, officially. We are now the BetMGM network. And... He said, you know, I was out talking to some people in my BetMGM Tonight hoodie and my BetMGM Tonight pants, and I literally stopped them. I'm like, wait, you have branded pants? We don't have branded pants. I want branded pants. I want the Fan Upstate, like the old Juicy on the shorts back in the day, right? My wife has been looking for years now.
I think they still make those, unfortunately. Are you talking about like right across the butt?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, they put those on like kids.
You know exactly.
They put those on like kids' clothes now.
Yeah, that was always weird.
Yeah, it's definitely weird.
They used to have the, back when I was in college, young made me jealous. Back when I was in college, they used to make the cheerleader shorts, and they would have the name of the school across the rear end,
mm-hmm.
across the seat of the cheerleader shorts. And, of course, back in the day, South Carolina obviously had their nickname across the rear end of the shorts, famously.
No.
My wife has been looking for a pair of those for years. Guess who else has been looking for a pair of those for my wife for years? I can't find them anywhere. If anybody knows where I can get some Gamecocks cheerleader shorts, I'll pay you for them. All right.
So when you talk about pants, they're not sweatpants. They're like dress pants. I'm talking about the ones at Horvat.
I don't think he actually has the pants.
Okay. All right.
I think he was just being sarcastic.
Well, also, he got you.
Yeah. But also, I'd wear a set of slacks with the Fan Upstate logo square on the booty cheeks. I don't know that the station would ever do better. Ratings go through the roof. Kidding me? Through the roof.
Where would you wear those?
On my legs?
Yeah, I know. But, I mean, at what venue?
Anyone I went to.
Okay.
Kidding me? I am always about promoting the brand.
I'm guessing your other 37 jobs might go, yeah, that might be a little too much.
Texter says 844-326-3663, by the way, is the number, 844-326-3663. Kane said, do you sell the hoodies?
He just said the only one, and
no one else on the station has this hoodie, Kane. I'm the only one. So, no. Now, that's not to say we may not in the future, so stay tuned.
I'm completely shocked that Cole doesn't have one, because
Cole's a big hoodie guy, too.
He's a hoodie guy.
Yeah, we're
for
both
sure.
big hoodie guys. Had to make the request. Okay. Got a bunch of texts, 844-326-3663, 844-FANFONE is the number. Here's a couple of texts we've gotten since our last segment. John Dog texts the show, said, welcome to professional college football, the new shield. I don't think he's talking about that shield. I think he's talking about the shield, like the NFL, but yes.
So not Sierra whatever.
Echo. Correct.
I forget what the H is.
Hotel.
Oh, okay. Sierra Hotel.
India. Echo. Echo, Lima, Delta, Shield. No, I think he means the NFL. And listen, when the portal and the NIL started becoming not just a conversation, because it was a conversation for a very long time, but started becoming a conversation as in, oh, this is happening. If you were listening to this show, because I was here when that happened, if you were listening to this show, you may recall me at that point in time saying, if the NCAA does not get out in front of this, if the NCAA does not start enacting its own protocols, guidelines, guideposts, safety rails, whatever you want to call it, now, this will become a problem even for me. As someone who is very pro-player, traditionally very pro-player, and that's not always to say that I'm pro-player. There are definitely spots where I think players are overpowered in both college and professional sports, but generally pro-player, if you don't start enacting your protocols and your guidelines, and you don't start laying down rules now, it is easier to set up a bunch of rules and allow those rules to be challenged down the line, legally or otherwise, and then have a rule knocked down every now and then, have a protocol, a guideline knocked down every now and then it is to have none in place, have the players just start doing whatever they want, and propping up rules and guidelines later. That was the philosophy at the beginning. The NCAA failed to act. Here we are, and I don't see a way back from it that does not involve the professionalization of college sports. Appreciate that text, John Dog. Keep them coming, 844-326-3663. 3663. Texter said, listening to Alonzo and Rob is like watching an episode of Tom and Jerry as a kid without the sound effects, and I love it. Yeah, I didn't pull a mallet out of a big brown nondescript bag or anything.
So you're saying you're Tom and I'm Jerry. I think that's what you just said.
I would say that if we had to.
My first name.
Texter said, morning, Rob. Like usual, Alonzo is wrong. Unions absolutely are political. Anyway, this movement is one step closer to the major realignment in college football. The future money earnings will eventually outweigh the current earnings, and not writing new conference and TV deals will start costing money. Got a meeting to get into. Keep up the great work. Spartanburg J.
That's a shame, Jay, because I was going to say, what an awesome text, but as usual, I'm wrong.
I mean, I'm going to say lovingly in this case. Yeah.
No. Yeah. This isn't a lovingly, and I'm absolutely not wrong. And Jay is wrong. How many unions you been in, Jay?
Take that, Jay. Take that.
Jay in the meeting who's not listening now and who definitely will not respond because he's in the meeting.
He's got business. Texter said, Rob, you're wrong again. College athletes are not professionals and should not be unionized. What you need to do is have each individual player, that's important, sign an individual contract with the team. I would point out, Texter, that, again, the NFL operates with a players' union, and also the players sign contracts with the teams that they are currently playing for.
So you're saying that college is just professionals and they're getting paid?
I'm saying it is. Okay. I'm absolutely saying it's on the way there. I've never not said that. However, what I have said.
You just won't say that they're paid employees by the college.
Because they're not.
But you will have to say that someday.
Yes, I will.
And when you say that, I will be very happy.
I mean, sure.
That's all I want.
I will be.
That's all I want. I'll probably just agree to anything you say after that. Whatever you say.
Right now, and then when the change happens, I will still be right now. I just won't be right then if I continued. But when there is, and I do believe there will be, a players union at the collegiate level that enters collective bargaining agreements with the NCAA or whatever entity is the NCAA's position at that point, then yes, I will be happy to say, now it's professional sports played at the college level. I do think that is coming down the pipe. But again, Texter, a collective bargaining agreement by a union does not stop. I absolutely think, in fact, it's something I've said on this show a gazillion times. To me, the concept here of propping up a union is not the fault of the players. It is the fault of the NCAA. Because when it got to the point that this was becoming a reality, when it got to the point that this was no longer a hypothetical discussion, but that we were actively moving towards a transfer portal and we were actively moving towards players being allowed to accept money in return for the utilization of their name, image, and likeness. When we got to that point, the NCAA needed to hammer down and they didn't. I'm not blaming the kids for taking everything that they were allowed to take. The NCAA should have said, we're keeping all this over here. We're going to allow you to do NIL, but we're going to put a limit down and then make the players fight to get rid of that limit. You should have said, we're putting a $250,000 annual NIL cap. If you want to play for the NCAA, that's the most that you can accept. And make the players go fight that in court. They probably would have, and frankly, they probably would have won, but at least it would have pushed everything down the pipe. It will always be easier to put 100 rules on the table and make the people that are governed by those rules fight to knock those rules down to gain more than it is to just let people do whatever they want and then try to rein it back in later. That's the point. Hell, that's the reason our entire political system is set up the way it is, checks and balances. Nobody, theoretically, has the power to just do whatever they want within their political office. They have to go through a series of rules and guidelines. And if they believe that those rules and guidelines are not correct, then they have to go through the judicial system to challenge them and have a lot of people put eyeballs on it and go, yeah, maybe you're wrong. Maybe you're right. I don't know. But the NCAA didn't do that. They just opened the door. And once the door is open, don't be shocked when everybody in the neighborhood comes in and starts taking your stuff. That's how it gets played. Texter said, let's see here. Corn Chip said, I got my fan hat and Planet shirt. I'll be Odyssey's walking billboard. Diesel said he was still waiting on B93 underwear.
Okay, he doesn't work at B93, so that's kind of weird. Why would he want B93? Are you sure you got that right?
That's what Corn Chip said.
I know. I read the text, but are you sure you got that right, Corn Chip?
I don't know, but ladies and gentlemen,
because I can tell you that that's not the kind of music that Diesel listens to. So
stay tuned for the first opportunity to purchase the Rob Brown Show boxers and thongs coming to a store near you soon.
If you're going to do that, they need to be the Rod Brown, not the Rob Brown.
The Hot Rod Brown undies and thongs coming your way soon. Give your gift, give your lady the gift of the Rob Brown Show underoos coming your way soon. I feel like that's a pet project that I have got to undertake now. Can I get Rob Brown Show boxers available in stores? Texter said, as I've always said, working in cybersecurity, you make it as strict as possible in the beginning because it's easier to stop the bleeding from a paper cut than it is a gunshot. That's from Joey. Yes, yes, yes. When you are in charge of setting up regulations, you set up as many of them as you can, and you circle back around and challenge them later. And that way, when you knock down a regulation, you don't have the floodgates opening. If you have no regulations, the floodgates are just open. And good luck stopping that. Texter said, I missed the Tigers losing to Tech segment. Sorry, Tiger fans. ACC is not it this year. No, it's not. No, it's not. They have what? One team in the AP Top 25 from this week. Now, I think a part of that, as we have talked about with ACC and SEC football for a long time, is a bit of that circular logic. That is to say, well, if every team in your conference is ranked in the top 25, then every game you play is a top 25 win or loss. If no teams in your conference are ranked in the top 25, then none of your games are top 25 games, and you're not going to get credit for them. I do think there is some element of that, but also this basketball conference ain't a basketball conference anymore. I don't know if it's going to stay that way forever, but it's not right now. Spartanburg J texts back. He said, Lonzo, I'm always listening.
Oh, you ruined my shout out. I was going to give him a shout out.
Oh, sorry. Fine. I could not read it in the creepy voice.
Okay. Well, yeah.
Texter said, Rob, why would the players give up the freedom that they have to unionize and get less? It doesn't make sense for them. No. See, what you're thinking is, and I think Lonzo did the same thing, is the only benefit you get is paying for a union. No. A union has the ability to organize an agreement and arrangement with the NCAA or whatever power structure and get more for them for everybody. It can get more compensation time. It can get higher regulations and limits.
And neither is the Texter. This is about the individual, not the collective. If you are a high paid star, what do you care about everybody else? You're trying to get yours.
Right.
And so,
but here's the thing.
So if you think that everyone up there thinks, hey, let me help everybody. They don't think that way. They don't.
You ever watch The Bug's Life?
Yes.
You know, at the end of The Bug's Life, the ants realize that if there's a gazillion of them and there's only a handful of what are they, grasshoppers that they can overwhelm. How many star athletes versus how many just football players are there? There's a hell of a lot more of football players.
By the way, speaking of The Bug's Life, I keep trying to keep things in order and line, and you keep trying to go out of the line, which causes confusion.
When people say I'm wrong, I'm going to address it. What do you want? Sports Flash.
Hard to run the ship when the helmsman keeps looking at, oh, look at that island. Look at that island. The Clemson basketball team, hours after being left outside of the top 25 in the AP poll, dropped an 89-86 overtime game against Georgia Tech last night. The Tigers were led by Chase Hunter's 28 points and Ian Shefflin's 23, but got just 10 points off of the bench. Tech out-rebounded the Tigers and were better from the field, shooting over 42% to Clemson's 36%. If the Chiefs win on Sunday, the possibility of a four-peat stays alive after head coach Andy Reid announced yesterday he has no plans to step away from football. The 67-year-old Reid coached 14 seasons in Philadelphia before joining the Chiefs in 2013. And he's won, you know, some Super Bowls there. Tune in tonight at 6:30 as Furman Paladins take on the Western Carolina Catamounts in basketball action right here on the Fan Upstate.